The guy who breaks it all down better than anybody else is Clark Kellogg, who joins us now on The Attack. Good morning, Clark. Bob Black, Joe Spano. Nice to have you.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Joe, great to be with you guys.
I'll tell you, Clark, let's dive into Capital One first and talk about the Capital One Cup. You're on the advisory board. It has become a huge thing involving college sports and really something that benefits the sport greatly. Talk about that a little bit for us.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been an advisory board member for the five years that the Capital One Cup has been in existence. And really, it's an award that recognizes outstanding athletic achievement over the course of the fall, winter, and spring sports seasons across Division I men's and women's sports. Teams actually earn points by virtue of national championships and top 10 finishes in those respective sports, 19 on the men's side, 20 on the women's side. And the winning program receives the Capital One Cup trophy, but also $400,000 in combined student-athlete scholarships. And that gives Capital One an opportunity, really, to shine a light on its support of not only excellence on the court or on the field, but also the educational pursuits of student-athletes. Because we know the experience of intercollegiate athletics really is a good foundation for those individuals that participate to be successful when their playing days are over, and the vast majority will not play their sport after college.
I think that's a great point to make, Clark. 99% won't play after college. So take advantage of what Capital One has to offer and take advantage of that education that's there for you.
No question about it. And people can actually follow the race at CapitalOneCup.com and at Capital One on Facebook and Twitter. Now, before we get into talking the games, I will throw out that the institution on the men's side that's leading the race for the Capital One Cup right now is the Ohio State University Buckeyes.
Hey, proud alum Clark Kellogg. And I remember his days at Ohio State well. And I remember, you know, Clark, we do this every year around this time. You know you were one of my favorite NBA and college players, albeit the career a little shortened by injury, but I love the versatility of your game, and we've talked about it a lot on these airwaves.
Yeah, we have. Thank you. I appreciate that, man.
Must gall you to have to talk about two Big Ten teams that aren't named Buckeyes.
No. Once the Buckeyes are done, then my allegiance shifts to the conference. So I'm happy, and I know both Bo Ryan and Tom Izzo reasonably well and have great respect and admiration for both, as I do the other coaches as well, John and Coach K. So we've got a real treat of a Final Four when you look at the programs, the long-term success, the caliber of the coaches, the way these teams have played, outstanding players on every roster. I mean, I think we've got a heck of a weekend in store for ourselves.
Well, pick the game you'd like to start with. Doesn't matter to us.
Michigan State Duke, obviously Michigan State is the team that was least likely to be in this position when the bracket of 68 was unveiled. And after the Big Ten Conference Championship game where they lost in overtime to Wisconsin, this team has played at a really high level, particularly defensively. They've been tighter. And then offensively, they've gotten great performances from Travis Trice, Denzel Valentine, and also in spots, Brandon Dawson. I think he may be the top overall rebounder left in the field. I think he may be number one in active leaders in tournament rebounds. And I think they've got a chance, a good chance, to pull a surprise and advance against an outstanding Duke team, in part because they've defended well. And I like the experience of those three guys that I mentioned, Trice and Dawson and Valentine, compared to a really precocious group of freshmen that have just been remarkable in their play, Winslow and both Joneses for Duke and also Okafor. So that's kind of how I'm looking at that one. Michigan State with experience and playmaking from those three spots and big guys that can maybe neutralize Okafor being able to pull off a shocker.
So you're picking the upset there?
Yeah, I've been on record as saying it a few calls ago, and that's kind of how I looked at it when we saw those four teams get matched up. And I'm subject to change, but I probably won't. That'll probably be what you hear on TV as well.
That's interesting, because where I've been impressed by Duke, and I'll get this out quickly, over the last number of years, while they've been absent from the Final Four, offensively, they've always been efficient. Defensively, they've not been good. This year, since changing to that zone, they're a far better defensive team than they have been in years past. And I think that's the difference between this Duke team and Duke teams of the recent past.
Will not disagree with you at all. As a matter of fact, I think Duke has won its tournament games because of defense. I've watched them a ton this year. And in the Gonzaga game, they were walking the ball up the court and basically playing a half-court game because I think they were so confident in how well and how good they were defending. And that's really impressive, especially with three freshman starters to be able to do that. And then another freshman that's a key player as well. I mean, they play four first-year guys, and they're special. Clearly, those guys are special. Winslow has been as impactful a stat sheet stuffer as we've had in the tournament and what he's been able to do at both ends in timely fashion in terms of game-changing, game-impacting type plays. Tyus Jones has done the same at different times during the regular season. Matt Jones was a huge factor in the win against Gonzaga with his three-point shooting. Okafor has been a man-child from day one.
Let's swing it to the other side and talk a little bit of Kentucky-Wisconsin. Everybody thinks this is going to be the classic. I'm not quite seeing it that way. I think Kentucky got a real big test. They withstood it. It was a style that they had trouble dealing with Notre Dame's athleticism. And I look back, and, you know, Joe and I disagree on this a little bit, but I look back to Duke dismantling Wisconsin earlier in the year, and I know it was quite a while ago, but I could see that happening, not to the same extent because they've now had a full season of basketball under their belts, but I could see Wisconsin maybe letting this game get away from them if Kentucky jumps out early.
Well, I don't know if they'd let it get away from them, Bob, but clearly I can certainly understand your sentiment. To me, it comes down to can Wisconsin, which is the best offensive team in the tournament and has been one of the best offensive teams, top two or three in the country all year long, can this team play at a high enough level defensively to put itself in position to win? I just don't think offense, even at a high-octane level, will be enough against Kentucky because they are formidable defensively. Notre Dame had great success attacking the rim, spacing the floor. Wisconsin has the ability to do that because the big guys, Hayes and Kaminsky and Decker, are guys that are versatile. They can score inside. They can make threes. They knock down free throws. I mean, they're really hard guys to guard. But I think Kentucky, even in last year's matchup, showed the ability to guard Kaminsky fairly well with Dakari Johnson primarily. So we'll see how that matchup plays out. Kaminsky, I think, will be more aggressive, and Decker has been off the charts in his last couple of ball games. But I think defensively is where Wisconsin has to really raise its level to have a chance to beat Kentucky.
So if we're hearing this right, Michigan State-Kentucky National Final, and when those two match up, is Kentucky able to make history and be the first since Bobby Knight's Indiana team back in the day to be an undefeated national champion?
Yeah, I've been singing that song for about 2.5 months or so, that this is the year that we have another unbeaten champion, historic in that it would be 40-0. And I think Kentucky, again, because it has multiple ways, Kentucky has more ways to beat you than any team remaining in the field, I think. Duke is probably the next closest because they are, I think, as good as Michigan State defensively and better than Wisconsin defensively and really good at the other end. So I think Kentucky makes it happen.
Excellent. Clark, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. We love our visits with you. As the NBA season continues to unfurl, if the Pacers make the playoffs, maybe we'll visit you there.
I'll be around. I'll be watching from a distance. I enjoy the NBA almost as much as I enjoy the madness of March. So, yeah, I'll be around and available if that eventuality comes to fruition.
Thanks so much, Clark. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you real soon.
Okay. All right, Bob. Joe, take care, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye. That was Clark Kellogg joining us here on Spano and Black from CBS Sports, breaking down the tournament like few can.